So I'm not exactly the expert when it comes to lacrosse. I follow it from a distance and still learning quite a bit about it, even though I've called lacrosse games before, not to the level of our next guest, Matt Ward, former Virginia Cavalier, two-time national champion and analyst with ESPN. But you know, I've heard quite a bit about this Virginia lacrosse team, which is one of the three from the ACC, along with their opponent, Notre Dame, and Duke, who will play Penn State in the Final Four this coming Saturday. This may be the most talented team that Lars Tiffany has had at UVA. I can't quite comment on that to be able to give the accurate breakdown, so why not get perspective from somebody who might be able to do that better, since he has called many a lacrosse game with ESPN of the Virginia Cavaliers and their opponents. Matt Ward, two-time national champion from his time at Virginia, now an analyst for ESPN, and thankful for him joining us today in the Fast Lane. Matt, heard that observation quite a bit as it relates to Lars Tiffany and his squad. Where would you say this Virginia Cavalier lacrosse team is relative to the others that Lars Tiffany has assembled?
Well, they've got work to do, right? And you kind of look at some of the past teams that Coach Tiffany has built. Those teams played their best lacrosse Memorial Day. They didn't necessarily have, I would say, as much success as this team has had during the regular season. But they definitely were getting better and better and better as the year progressed. This team, they've got this checked off as something that the regular season's over and the tournament's going to be what ultimately defines the season. But when you look at the players and the talent, there really isn't a weakness, right? You know, they face off very well. Early in the year, Matt Nunes in the cage struggled a little bit, but he has been playing very good lacrosse as of late. And then you look at the individual pieces on the defense and the offensive end, there isn't a more talented team in the country. And certainly I think in terms of talent level and just complete roster, Coach Tiffany has got to be thinking that this is probably the most talented team that he's had in Charlottesville to date.
As it relates to those pieces individually, starting with Nunes in goal, a lot of folks think of goalkeeper in many different sports, lacrosse, soccer, hockey, among others, as one where you pick a guy, you ride with him. That has not always been Lars Tiffany's strategy. How much does that test a guy like Nunes and prepare him for what he's gotten so far this year and obviously what awaits him Saturday up in Philly against Notre Dame?
Yeah, look, I'm not crazy enough to ever consider stepping in a cage as a lacrosse goalie. I think you have to be nuts to do it. But you also have to have a short memory. And I think, you know, he's done an incredible job overcoming what could have quickly snowballed in the wrong direction. You know, being a good goaltender is so much about confidence. And I think that can be shaken. I think his probably was shaken a little bit early on in the season. But starting in about the first Notre Dame game, you know, when, quite frankly, his feet were probably pretty hot, he's been great, and he's answered the bell. He's done everything that Coach Tiffany's wanted him to do. He's stopping the saves that he needs to stop. He's stealing a couple per game. You know, his clearing has been first class. And so, again, he's got to be feeling much different with where he's been playing as of late than maybe where he was early in the season. But, again, I think every goalie is going to go through hot streaks and cold streaks, and it's can you rebound, can you refocus, can you forget the bad and focus on making the next stop? And I certainly think that, you know, he's been able to do that. And again, this is the kid who was the rookie of the year in the ACC last year. Like, that's not easy to do. And the coaching staff trusted him. They know he had the talent. And certainly I think that trust has been rewarded because of the way that he's played, you know, during Virginia's hot streak here.
Virginia battles Notre Dame. That's game two of our doubleheader, 11:45 airtime this coming Saturday across the Virginia Talk Radio Network, as we are fortunate enough to be able to bring you Notre Dame and Duke before that. Excuse me, Duke and Penn State before Notre Dame and Virginia. And Matt Ward, ESPN lacrosse analyst with us here in the Fast Lane and former Virginia lacrosse player himself. I'd imagine you may have a lofty standards for folks that can put the ball in the back of the cage. Connor Schellenberger for Virginia. Did he prove, did he verify, or did he just more solidify the fact that he has what it takes to be the X factor for Virginia, as he was in the victory in the Elite Eight against Georgetown?
Yeah, it's funny how people kind of said he's had a down year, and meanwhile he's top five in the country in points and just scored 10, you know, had 10 points in the first quarterfinal of the NCAA tournament game. You know, what I think is best about Connor is, A, he plays his best lacrosse in the biggest games, and he's proven that throughout his career. Two, he can make an impact in a game without scoring points. And you don't say that frequently about offensive players. Usually when you talk about offensive players, you know, you talk about like a Brendan O'Neill for Duke. It's like, man, he scored 6-7 goals. It's always going to come down to the stats. Connor Schellenberger, to me, really is what's so unique about him is his ability to control the tempo better, really, than any lacrosse player I think I've seen in the last 5-6 years. To kind of read the game. A lot like you see like LeBron James in basketball, right? He wants to get his teammates involved. He doesn't need to make an impact early on. If you're watching Connor Schellenberger throughout the course of the game, he's poking and prodding in terms of how can I be as impactful? And if that's, hey, I identify that Xander Dickson or, you know, Peyton Cormier or Thomas McConvey have a matchup advantage, he is completely fine getting them in the right position, getting them the ball, and letting them lead the offense. You don't see that often in a superstar, and that's exactly what Connor Schellenberger is. You know, his story is a lot more to be written, but what can you say about him when he is healthy? He was the MVP of the NCAA tournament as a freshman. Like, not too many people have that on their resume, and I certainly think he's a better player now than he was then. I don't know. You know, I think he's had some injuries throughout the course of this year, and he's still been able to excel at a high level. And right now, I feel like he's pretty healthy. And so Virginia's offense is going to go as far as he will take them. Even though they have so many other points or players, he's the guy. Right? He is the one that is going to dictate pace of play, get the ball at the right place at the right time, and ultimately probably make the biggest plays as well.
Matt, how difficult was it for you when you were an attack man? Matt Ward, ESPN analyst. How difficult was it for you as an attack man? Did it always come naturally? Did it never come naturally? Did it take time to come naturally? That gift of being able to use the early portion of the game, have the patience to use the early portion of the game to identify where the matchup was correct, who might be able to get hot, and who might be able to carry the team offensively, whether that's you or someone else.
I think, you know, for me, I think at the course of my career, I got better at it, right? As a freshman, I came onto campus and was fortunate enough to play with a team that won the national championship that was loaded with experience and kind of was able to sit back and not feel like a lot of pressure to make things happen and kind of learn my, you know, kind of learn the nuances of the college game and not really force the issue. My sophomore year, I think that role switched. We graduated a lot and I became a little bit more of the focus or the focal point of the offense. And we were 5-8. So definitely some learning curves there. And then my junior and senior year, you know, we were more experienced in the team. We were deep. We didn't really have any weaknesses. And I think you have a little bit more flexibility in terms of kind of that strategy when the rest of your teammates are really, really good as well. And certainly this team, if you're saying, hey, I'm not going to be the guy, it's going to be Xander Dickson, Peyton Cormier, all the midfielders, you know, a Griffin Schutz. Like, yeah, you can sit back and let them get, you know, and get into involved and find their groove, and then ultimately kind of find a way to make an impact as well.
I keep looking at this photo. The reason I chuckled is because I keep looking at this photo of P. LaSalle of Virginia's face-off, man, and look at, you know, I'm looking at his legs, and they look like the legs of a running back in the NFL or a fullback. I mean, just monstrous. How much of an advantage does he give Virginia, not only being able to control the face-off circle and win possessions, but the fact that, I mean, the guy's got is a tank, and it would seem like, from my perspective, over the course of a game, going up against that consistently has to wear out the opposing face-off player.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's pound for pound the strongest player on the team, and I don't think it's close, right? And he's taken more face-offs than any player in the history of college lacrosse. And he's also got experience at the biggest stages, right? So he, as a freshman, was the go-to face-off guy for a national champion team. And then the next full year that they played, he was the go-to guy. He has a pretty good ability to adjust throughout the course of games and make adjustments, right? There may be a matchup that early on he's struggling, but he can kind of go back and think through the problems that he's facing and make adjustments, which I think is pretty rare in the face-off. But to your point, he's just a relentless athlete, and will go down as one of the great face-off guys at UVA. I think he'll go down as the best all-around UVA face-off person that we've had, given his ability to actually make an impact on the offensive end of the field, right, against Georgetown last week. UVA's up 2-0 in 14 seconds because he can push in transition, and he's making better decisions as the season's gone on. I think early on he may have forced it a little bit, but as of late, you know, you get 1, 2, 3 goals directly off the faceoff, that puts a lot of pressure on the other team, especially when you have a team, you know, that's as deep as the Cavaliers.
3-time All-American, 2-time national champion, and now an analyst transitioning from his time playing at UVA to being an analyst for ESPN. It's Matt Ward stepping into the fast lane. NCAA Men's Lacrosse Final Four is this coming weekend. Matt, a lot of these seniors for Virginia, fifth years, fourth years, wherever they're termed right now, came back because of the disappointment in the loss to Maryland last year that prevented them, obviously, from winning a national title and making the Final Four. Pressure greater on Virginia than anybody else here because of that and because they've been here before? Is it off because they're back to Memorial Day weekend? Where would you rate that element and how hard it is to quantify, but trying to put it in perspective for us?
Look, to me, I think the pressure is probably on a Penn State, right? This is kind of their first trip in some time. And again, I mean, obviously Duke and Notre Dame haven't played in the championship weekend, but they've been competing in the ACC and have been winning records, you know, the past few years. I just think these teams are going to be excited about it. I don't think you're going to see a team come out, any of the teams really, and be overwhelmed by the moment, right? I think what's unique is that Virginia's played Notre Dame and Duke twice. And so they're very familiar with who they're playing versus Notre Dame only played Duke once and no one's played Penn State. So I do think Virginia having some familiarity can certainly be a strength, but also if you look at the Notre Dame matchup, it's not easy to beat a really, really good team 3 times. And so I think each team has kind of an obstacle that they need to overcome. I think they're all going to be excited for the moment. I don't think that you're going to see any teams really kind of shrink given the expectations. I just think that they're going to give it their all. And again, we talked about Virginia probably having, you know, Coach Tiffany's most loaded roster. You know, I think you could say the same thing about Notre Dame, their next opponent. I think it's Coach Corrigan's best team all around, given the pieces that they have. So Virginia has got their hands full, you know, to pull this off. But, you know, I think they're probably really excited about the opportunity, and they believe they can do it.
You referenced the hands full part for Virginia. What element of Notre Dame gives Virginia the most cause for concern, even though they faced the Irish twice and won narrowly, but still won the previous 2 meetings this year?
I think there's a lot, right? Liam Entman and Cage for Notre Dame. I think that, you know, I think he's probably an advantage for them versus the Cavaliers, right? You run up against a hot goalie who makes 20 plus saves, anyone can beat anybody, right? So when you have the first team All-American goalie that you're going against, that's something that could be, you know, keep you up at night of your coaching staff. But then you also look at, you know, the Kavanaugh brothers. You know, I know Virginia's done pretty well against them. I think their length between Kastner and Sosted is a pretty good matchup. But they're 2 of the best players in the country. And they can get hot and they can make plays. They're tough. They're athletic. They ride it back. So when you're playing a team that has, you know, arguably 2 of the best players at their respective positions, you know, that's always a challenge.
Last one for you, and we appreciate your time, Matt, as Matt Ward, former Virginia Cavaliers star, now with ESPN, the lacrosse analyst, with us here in the fast lane. Duke and Penn State, that's the first game. Duke, the better team? Is Duke clearly the better team? How do you see that matchup as it gets ready to unfold and kick things off this coming Saturday?
I think if you look at their rosters, I do think that Duke is the better team. I think they have the best player on the field in Brendan O'Neill. You know, he had 6 goals against Michigan in the quarterfinals. And if you just see his size, he's pretty imposing. But what's more imposing is the skill set that he brings to the table. Not often do you see people as big and as athletic as him, where it's probably their weakness compared to how skilled he is. And so when you have a player like that who can truly take over, Penn State may be dealing with some injuries on the defensive side of the field as well. They lost their best defenseman. To me, what looked like a fairly serious injury in the quarterfinals against Army. So I do think that Duke will be the favorite there. But again, Duke beat Delaware by 1 goal, right? And Delaware, a very good team. Penn State probably a step above. So every matchup's unique. You know, to me, though, I think if they both play their best game, I think Duke's got an advantage there.
Matt, thank you for your time and insight today in the fast lane and setting up what could be an all-ACC final and what will be a fun weekend of lacrosse.
Absolutely. Enjoy the weekend and looking forward to it.
Indeed. Matt Ward with us here in the fast lane. Of course, the championship comes your way this coming Memorial Day. 11:45 is the airtime. That is right after I will be running, and you can still run. Plenty of time to sign up at T1DE.org. That's Tide.org for the Memorial Day 10K run and 2 mile walk for Tide, the type 1 diabetes experience. When you sign up, you help empower individuals living with type 1 diabetes to prevent, delay, or reverse the physical and emotional complications that come from type 1 diabetes. That's Tide.org, T1DE.org. Trey,
no show Monday, right?
No show Monday.
Okay, we're back. I've made plans.
Nope, you made plans. I've made plans. Try to wear the kids out at the pool. Wife is going to need my assistance with that.
I'm going to wear Hokie out this weekend.
You have your hands full in a much different way. Tonight, is it the final night before the finals?
Yeah. We're going to 9 days. That's incredible.
It is a long time. By the way, I may be wrong, but my own kudos to this. Earlier start time for the finals. Thank God.
8:30,
but it's not 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which is fine by me.
If you're Adam Silver, are you kind of like upset that one, both are going to be sweeps, and two, you're going to get the lead? I mean, I'm excited about this matchup, but least appealing matchup.
For him, yes, because the whole league has done this. All the NBA has done forever is talk about stars. They haven't emphasized when there is a good team element. And so when you get these type of matchups, it's like when the Spurs, and more so, the Spurs Pistons were in the finals a few years ago. Great series. It wins 7 games. Awesome. But not necessarily what the NBA has built themselves up to want.
I was just going
to
say, the best player doesn't even look like a basketball player.
No, but he's phenomenal. He'll probably draw Miami. We'll find out more when we're back tomorrow, 5 to 6. We'll be right back.